And information here on Hampshire College's own Yurt Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to North American Psychotherapy. I'm your host, Henry Epp. Tonight is part two of the Rebellion episode, which was started last week, where we heard some personal stories of childhood rebellion. In a minute, we'll be hearing a piece I wrote and produced about Occupy Wall Street, a much larger rebellion. And while I was producing this piece, the status of Zuccotti Park, which is the central location of the movement, it radically changed as I was producing it, and I was unfortunately not aware of that that change. But what you're about to hear is more of a picture of what the occupation was about a month ago, which is when I was there. And I'll talk more about the more recent developments afterwards. So here it goes. Take a seat. That is, of course, the stimulus package, my very own band. Surrounded by massive skyscrapers, including those rising from ground zero, Zuccotti Park is not so much a park as it is a corporate plaza. And since September, Zuccotti has been transformed into a makeshift village. This is the Occupy Wall Street protest that leapt into the nation's consciousness in early October when major media outlets began giving this movement airtime. But the seeds of this protest began long before October. Inspired by the Arab Spring, the wave of mass uprisings across the Middle East earlier this year, a call to Occupy Wall Street was put out by a Canadian magazine and group called Adbusters in July of this year, and on September 17th, a relatively small band of protesters attempted to camp out on Wall Street itself. They were pushed away from Wall Street, but quickly sent up camp about two blocks uptown in a small corporate plaza called Zuccotti Park. The protesters renamed the park Liberty Square. I was aware of the coming protests in early September, before they actually started, mostly because I go to Hampshire College, a school known for its very long history of activism. A group of Hampshire students were quick to make the entire campus aware of the protests, through signs and tents on the library lawn and whatnot. I was skeptical at first, having seen many populist-style movements incited on this campus, only to eventually fizzle out. So I was quick to dismiss this new protest as a misguided, idealistic movement that wouldn't amount to much. Plus, I read a New York Times article on September 23rd that told me that the protest had no clear message and that the protesters were unemployed, crusty, pot-smoking students. But then things started to change. About a week and a half later, beginning of October, I ran across a few videos online, mostly criticizing the mainstream media for its lack of coverage. And the protests continued to grow, causing increasing confrontations with the local police. Suddenly, Occupy Wall Street was everywhere. Media outlets, large and small, were covering them. And while most of the media coverage was critical of the protesters' message, or lack thereof, it started to become clear to me. The disparity between rich and poor has become overwhelming in this country. Occupy Wall Street may not have one single goal, but that's not necessarily the point of it. It's expressing a common frustration, and is bringing people of all classes and backgrounds into a national conversation. With that in mind, I went down to New York over a long weekend in early October to see, the movement for myself.
We are not leaders. We are just helping to keep process.
The meeting on process.
So are there any concerns?
I arrived in Zuccotti Park on Saturday morning. It's like a tiny leaderless village with handwritten signs clearly marking its media center, library, and communal kitchen. And since neighbors and fellow protesters have yet to intervene, at one end of the park is, of course, the ever-present drum circle, providing the event with a throbbing rhythm. There's other music here, too. Near the kitchen, a group gathers together with guitars, ukuleles, mandolins, and voices, singing familiar populist protest songs. Occupy Wall Street garnered mainstream attention in part thanks to several violent encounters with police. There have been hundreds of arrests and accusations of misconduct on the part of the NYPD. So in order to avoid unnecessary police confrontations, word is spreading around Zuccotti today that there will be no official march to an offshoot rally that's happening in Washington Square Park this afternoon. Through word of mouth, protesters will convene on their own. My friends and I decide to make the walk. It's an unseasonably warm afternoon, slightly uptown in Washington Square. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of people are gathered around the central fountain for speeches through the People's Mic, a system devised when the NYPD prohibited the protesters from using amplification. It works like this. A speaker says what they have to say in short phrases, which are then repeated by the crowd around them, amplifying the speaker through a multitude of voices. One of the recurring themes of the rally draws inspiration from the protests of the Arab Spring. With this group voice and throughout the afternoon, I hear a constant, peaceful struggle between many individual needs, hopes, desires, and dreams. Wonderful universals, but what are individuals each hoping to get out of Occupy Wall Street? I decide to ask some folks around me, and I find that there's an immense range from broad ideals to personal grievances.
My name is Larry Devoskin. I'm a songwriter from New York City. I'm here because I'm not fighting an old system, but starting a new one. The whole world is changing, and it's time to change with the world.
I came to Occupy Wall Street because I think it's time that we have a really serious discussion about what we're doing in this country and how we approach our policies.
My name is Monet Weldon, and the main reason I came are for myself not having health insurance and also the high price it is to have an education.
The personal backgrounds of individual protesters are diverse as well. Some work within the system, others outside of it, like Travis, who lives and works here in New York.
My name is Jane Bloomer, and I'm a social worker, and I'm concerned about how the people's needs are being not being taken care of, and by the greed of the investment bankers.
My name is Travis Morales. I am the co-manager of Revolution Books here in New York, and came out here for several reasons. One, to stand with and support this fresh wind of resistance that's blowing through New York and the country now to the crimes of capitalism. To stand in solidarity with what people are doing, and also to bring to people the revolution.
Many voices, many perspectives. So here's one common thread. The core economic systems of our country need to change. As I walk around Washington Square, this idea is being discussed and celebrated everywhere. In conversations, in chants, in music, and in dance. As dancers move in the glow of the late afternoon sun, it feels like more of a weekend street fair than a protest. But as I talk more with the people that make up this leaderless mass, it's clear that there's something disobedient in this movement's intentions.
Well, I wouldn't be here today with a sign if I didn't have a sense of rebellion.
Sometimes when the system that you're under currently isn't working for you, you have to fight back. And if that makes you rebellious, then I guess we are.
Occupy Wall Street may just be the most recent in a long series of American rebellions. But one thing that sets this movement apart is that it is happening 24/7. Protesters have been occupying every single moment since September 17th. As I head back to Zuccotti Park in the evening, the movement's energy is everywhere. Protesters guard the outskirts with signs, a food line meanders through the sea of tents, a group prays by the protest's sacred space, and a rowdy drum circle is as loud as ever. Darkness falls, and the official daily Occupy Wall Street General Assembly is underway, using the people's mic to discuss the ongoing developments of the protest. The meeting is open to all voices, but a group of facilitators works hard to keep it moving along, and the crowd is quick to derail those who meander. During its two full hours, the meeting is democracy in its most basic and often tedious form. As evening turns into night, the daytime visitors have left, and only the diehards remain. My friend and I decide to join them. I've brought a sleeping bag, but he hasn't, so we head to the comfort station. All that's left for him is an old apron and a space blanket. We find one of the few open slabs of concrete at the edge of the park, next to clusters of chattering insomniacs. It takes a while, but by 3 a.m., I fall asleep. At 8 the next morning, I'm woken up by the flashing cameras of tourists. From the opposite end of the park, I can already hear the drum circle starting up again. People are slowly rising from the masses of tarps and sleeping bags, heading towards the kitchen. I rub my eyes and follow them, wearing the same clothes I fell asleep in. I can feel the reason protesters here are stereotyped as crusty. Occupy Wall Street is ready for another day, and as far as I can tell, this will not be its last.
Dissent is patriotic. It's what formed America. It's what gave birth to the revolution. It's what gave birth to the civil rights movement, the gay rights movement, the feminist movement, and everything else. And America is supposed to be a model for freedom, and that's where freedom comes from, is healthy discussion, healthy dissent.
You know, look, this is a fresh wind of resistance. This is wonderful that this is going on. It's lifting off the shoulders of many people a horrible weight of the thinking that you can't do anything about this. That this is a permanent necessity to the way the world is. No, it doesn't have to be this way. Things can change, and people also seeing how they can come together in struggle.
Thank you. I'm a wandering soul. I got no place of my own. Well, I got nothing to give. Well, I got nothing to show for it, and I'll be wandering on.
That was People Come On by the Delta Spirit. And before that was my long in the works piece about Occupy Wall Street, or Occupy Wall Street as it was and looked in early October. Now, I spent essentially all day yesterday and Monday night putting that piece together, completely neglecting to look at the news or go on Facebook. So literally 2 minutes after I finished producing and editing that piece, I looked on Facebook and saw about 10 different postings from late Monday night, or early Tuesday morning, technically, when the NYPD riot police descended on Zuccotti Park and forced out the hundreds of protesters that were gathered there. It was a surprise raid. They also bulldozed and trashed the protesters' belongings, including the entire library that I had described, the kitchen that I described and also worked in when I was there, and many other possessions of people, including tents, sleeping bags, etc. Protesters reconvened that night at 6th and Canal Street, and as of last night, Tuesday night, they had been allowed back into the park and held a general assembly in the style that you heard in the piece earlier, except they weren't just talking about herbal tea. They, I think, were talking about much more important things, and they were without many of their belongings. Police and city officials say protesters can be in the park, but will not be allowed to camp there again. So the Zuccotti Park or Liberty Square that I saw in early October and produced this 10-minute radio documentary about is no more. But the energy is still there. When I slept at Occupy Wall Street, it was just beginning to move into the nation's consciousness and just beginning to create offshoot protests in other cities. And since then, the movement has gone well beyond Zuccotti Park. And now a major question must be asked of Occupy Wall Street. Can it withstand losing its birthplace? Will it regroup to another location in New York? Or does it need a central location at all? Or has it disseminated enough to withstand without one? I'm interested to hear what you think. I think this is a very important issue and one that is very particular, even though it is a global movement, one that's very particular to America. So let me know what you think. Write me on Facebook. You can look up North American Psychotherapy and like it and write a comment there. Email me at napshow@gmail.com, N-A-P-S-H-O-W @gmail.com, or comment on the blog that I have, which I don't think many people look at. Napshow, again, napshow.wordpress.com. So where will Occupy Wall Street go from here? Where should it go? It's made people aware of economic and power disparities in this country and the world in general. But will it make any strides to actually fix those disparities? I think that's the big question that needs to be asked now. If you have something to say, please don't be shy. And I guess until we find a solution, I'm going to play more music. So here's some new Wilco. In a moment.
I've been young, I've been old, I've been hurt and consoled, heart of coal, heart of gold, so I've told. I've been lost, I've been found, I've been taken.
I'm falling, I'm falling, you're walking, I'm calling. this song is Uncle Sam, goddamn. It's a show tune, but the show ain't been written for it yet. We gonna see if Tony Jerome and the band can maybe work this shit out for me. Straighten me out right quick. I like it so far, man. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do the shit real, come on now. Smoke and mirrors, stripes and stars, stolen for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud, written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold continent latchkey child ran away one day and started acting foul. King of where the wild things are, daddy's proud, cause the Roman Empire done passed it down. Imported and tortured a workforce and never healed the wounds or shook the curse off. Now the grown-up Goliath nation holding open auditions for the part of David. Can you feel? Nothing can save you. You question the rain. You get rushed in and chained up. Fist raised, but I must be insane, cause I can't figure a single goddamn way to change. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred, power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred, power is God. All must bow to the fat and lazy. The fuck you obey me, and why do they hate me? Who me? Only two generations away from the world's most despicable slavery trade. Pioneered so many ways to degrade a human being that it can't be changed to this day. Legacy so ingrained in the way that we think we no longer need chains to be slaves. Lord, it's a shameful display. The overseers even got raped along the way. Cause the children can't escape from the pain, and they born with the poison, this hatred in their veins. Try and separate a man from his soul, you only strengthen him and lose your own. But shoot that fucker if he walk near the throne. Remind him that this is my home, now I'm gone. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred, power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred. Hold on, give me one right here, hold on. You don't give money to the bums on the corner with a sign bleeding from their gums. Talking about you don't support a crackhead. What you think happens to the money from your taxes? Shit, the government's the addict. With $1 billion a week, kill brown people habit. And even if you ain't on the front line, when Master yell crunch time, you right back at it. Man, look at how you hustling backwards. At the end of the year, add up what they subtracted. 3 out of 12 months, your salary pay for that madness. Man, that's sadness. What's left? Get a big ass plasma to see where they made damn bad to point the damn camera. Only approved questions get answered. Now stand your ass up for that national anthem. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred, power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God.
That was Brother Ali with Uncle Sam, Goddamn. And before that was Wilco from their new album, which is called The Whole Love, and that song was Dawned on Me. I have to admit that I'm a huge Wilco fan and kind of nerd, and didn't get that record for a while because it came out in September, and I didn't get it until this past weekend because I really wanted to actually physically buy it, and I hadn't had any expendable dollars until this past weekend since late September. So, anyways, you don't need to know about that, but that's what happened. Anyways, I'm sticking around here for the next half hour and wondering what you guys are wanting to hear or see or do. I did that piece about Occupy Wall Street earlier. If you have any thoughts about it, further thoughts about what's happening now, what you think should happen, I think those are all very legitimate things. So email me, napshow@gmail.com, or send me a message on Facebook. So I want to plug something. Technically, I'm kind of like a journalist right now. not on this show. I'm not going to call what I do here journalism. But I'm currently an intern for a local public radio station. So I can't really express overt political opinions. So I can't really say what I truly think about Occupy Wall Street. But I would love to hear what you guys think and talk to you about that. I think without saying, you know, explicit anything, I think this is a very unique movement, something that the country hasn't seen in a long time, the world hasn't seen, maybe ever. I'm I'm really struggling right now to find language that isn't saying. Okay, anyways, I should maybe just not say anything. But okay, I think it's important. I think it's very important. I think that there are a lot of things to be said about it. I think it's something that, if it keeps going, could potentially greatly impact the political and economic nature of this country and the world. So without endorsing anything, I'm going to plug something. Tomorrow is Occupy Wall Street's second anniversary. It's 2 month anniversary. Woo, 2 months. Way to go. And so in light of that, there's a kind of day, they're calling it the Day of Action. All over everywhere, and it's yet to be seen how effective that will be. But if you are interested in taking part of it, or if you are interested in not taking part of it, or watching it, or yelling at it, or taking issue with it, or supporting it, whatever you want to do. And if you are in the Hampshire College area, tomorrow at 11 a.m. will be a student walkout. I know you've missed a lot of class, but don't just walk out just for the sake of missing class. I will not endorse that, but I will say that there is a student walkout at 11 a.m. From 11 to 12:30, there is what's being called a student teach-in on student debt and global financial crisis. And from 12:30 to 1:20, there's going to be a quote unquote speak out soapbox / people's mic. So who knows what that'll be, but those things will be going on at Hampshire tomorrow. So you are invited, I guess. I guess everyone's invited. Be forewarned if that kind of thing annoys you. And then from 1:20 to 1:30, there's a bus to Amherst Center, where I think there are more things happening. Smith and Amherst and UMass will all be represented there for sure. And then Judith Butler is speaking at 4:30. She is Ooh, I think I just messed up there. I don't think Judith Butler goes by the female gender pronoun. Because, yes. Okay. I'm just speaking myself into a corner tonight. but Judith Butler will be speaking at 4:30 at UMass tomorrow. So that's the news from the Occupy Wall Street movement, where all the women are strong and the men are good-looking and all the children hold protest signs. That was a quote from a show called Prairie Home Companion. And I grew up listening to that, and it just, like, just fell out of my mouth. You know, like, okay, I listened to a lot of public radio by default when I was growing up because my parents listened to a lot of public radio. So it's like I know when all the cues are happening. I was listening to the news today, and it's like, wow, okay, I know what you're going to say next. In terms, they're like, I know now you're going to talk about your sponsors. I don't know what I'm saying. That sounds ridiculous. Please tell me if you think I am making any sense or not. Please tell me. Or just tell me that you're listening. That would be great, too. I'm going to stop rambling because I'm doing that thing where I talk. I'm talking so constantly that the thoughts are draining out of my head. And I lose my train of thought very easily, and I'm not sure what I'm saying anymore. So here's more music. If you have any requests, too, please let me know on the Facebooks and on the Gmails. This is The Replacements. Nope. Yes.
sense, it don't come easy. In a sense, it never will. Accidents mean no one's guilty. Ignorance means someone's killed. So I asked out Mr. Miller how to get to where one's going. And he points to his survival, and he points me down the road. And I go, oh no, lead that low. Wondering if I got a soul. Cutting down the hours till it goes.
Right, that, whoa, look at it go, whoa, that was crazy. Hello, that was Counting Down the Hours by Ted Leone, the Pharmacists, and before that, The Replacements with Bastards of the Young. So I'm hanging out in the yurt now, did that thing on Occupy Wall Street, in case you didn't hear it, and you want to hear it, please let me know, napshow@gmail.com, N-A-P-S-H-O-W @gmail.com. I can get you a copy somehow through the internets. I should also, I'm going to try to post it. I'm going to try to make this show into some kind of podcast that is downloadable and listenable at your convenience. But until that happens, you'll just have to listen to it live like you're doing right now. If you are doing that and you are listening to this, that I'm speaking at this moment. So, yeah, we got 15 minutes left. Actually, less than that. I have 14 minutes left. So, I don't know what I'm going to play. I've gotten to that point where I haven't really, you know, prepared a playlist or anything. That would be silly. Oh, actually, no. I have one other song lined up. But beyond that, you know, while I'm looking for other stuff to play, you guys should let me know what you want to hear. Because my iTunes library and general music taste is limited somewhat in scope, limited in the sense, I wouldn't say it's limited. I'm not going to put myself down like that. I like a lot of music. I listen to a lot of music, but not, you know, some people get way more into the music thing than I do and have a lot more obscure and interesting things to suggest. So if that is who you think you are, Or, I mean, you don't have to think you're that. You just, you know, if you think you like something more interesting than I don't know, whatever. But send me some requests is what I'm trying to say. Just request something. Say, hey, Henry, play this song. You know, I like this song. It's weird, maybe. It's strange. People don't really play it on the normal radio. Because this isn't the normal radio. This is yurt radio. It's in a yurt. So send some effing requests, man. There's only one yurt. One mic, one yurt, one guy in here playing songs for you. This is the Talking Heads.
Disco. This ain't no fooling around. I'm gonna hold you.
Okay, that was, of course, oh my gosh, I gotta turn off that speaker. That was the Talking Heads with, you know, that one song, Life During Wartime. Do they even say that in the song? I don't know. It's a great title. I'm not sure if they actually say those words in that order in that song, but it's a good song. And that was from that was a live version from Stop Making Sense, the film. So got two requests from some wonderful dedicated listeners. The first is a request from my dumb sisters, Dinglebutt and Stinkfart, as I like to call them, also known as Nora and Lainey, but that's not important. yes, they're hanging out in Minneapolis, and it's a good time for them to be doing that. but they requested this song called Prince Nez, and after that is a request from the probably the most prolific or at least regular requester for this show, Jacques Robert Boudreau. So I'm going to play those, and then I think I'm going to be out of time by the time those songs play. So if I don't get say hello to you again, goodbye. It was nice knowing you all. And during this hour of radio, I'll be back. Actually, I won't be back next week because it'll be Thanksgiving and I won't be here. But I will be back the week after that, which may already be December at that point. But I don't want to think about that. So here's Prince Nez.
The juniper, the cornflower, and the chicory. Well, all of the words you said to me are still vibrating in my head. The LVH and the linden tree, the dark and deep enchanted sea, the trembling moon and the stars unfurled. Oh, there she goes, my beautiful world. There she goes, my beautiful world. This poetry riddled with a parts. And Nabokov wrote on index cards and left them in his socks. Listen, Charlie Cross, he did a his best on that present in a box. And Johnny Fulmer's, was he half alive when he wrote Johnny's Rise? How me a man. Get on your feet, brother, and blow it. And if you got a field that don't yield, well, get up now and hoe it. I look at you, you look at me, and we can all.